Hi Krishna, is there anyone else? Hi Krishna, today we are very fortunate to have Har Gobind Kirtida Sundari Mataji. Mataji will do the revision Madhya Lila chapter 24, summary part 2, verse number 71 to 106. Mataji, please take over. Mataji.
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much, Anjana Gopika Mataji. Thank you so much, Preeti Vilasini Mataji and Supriya Mataji, for your wonderful chanting. So today, we'll continue with the summary of this chapter, chapter 24 of Madhya Leela of Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is entitled The Explanations of the Atma Rama Verse. So today we'll continue with text 71 onwards, and then let's see how much we can cover. So, I'll just say the verse, because this is the verse, you know, most of us have already memorized it, because we have hearing this verse practically every day in every session of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Atmaramascha munyo nirgrantha api urprame kurvanti ahitukam bhaktim itam bhutabhuno hari. Translation says, those who are self-satisfied and unattracted by external material desires are also attracted to the loving service of Sri Krishna, whose qualities are transcendental and whose activities are wonderful. Hari, the personality of Godhead, is called Krishna because he has such transcendentally active, attractive features. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Vena Tasmai Shri Guruvaya Namah. Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Tristhaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Chari Swami Niti Namah. Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Tristhaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namah. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Prachari Nirvishesha Srinivadi Pashyata Devishatari. वांछाकल्पतरूपश्च कृपासिन्धुवैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः. जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवास आदि गौरभक्तवृन्द. हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे. जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय अद्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद. हरे कृष्ण डियर डिवोटीज, थैंक यू वंस अगेन फॉर जॉइनिंग इन. सो वी आर ऑलरेडी रीडिंग दिस चैप्टर द एक्सप्लेनेशंस ऑफ द आत्मा राम वर्स, एंड ऑलमोस्ट हाफ ऑफ द चैप्टर इज बीइंग कवर्ड. नॉट हाफ बट यस लेस देन हाफ. बट जस्ट टू समराइज, you know, we are taking up this few sessions. So lastly, I summarized till from verse number 1st to verse number 70. Right? And today we'll continue with text number 71 onwards. So I just seek blessings and prayers from all of you to please shower all your blessings and prayers so that I'm able to summarize it, because it's not an easy subject matter. But just taking it as a service to Sri Guru and Srila Prabhupada, and of course of all the wonderful Vaishnavas, you know, I just took up this service, so please bless me so that I may speak something which is favorable to all of you and which is in alignment of Srila Prabhupada and our present Guru Varga's teachings. It glorifies Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita and of course for my own purification. So I just bow down to each and every one of you. Vancha kalpataru vascha kripasindhu deva cha patita nam pavanevyo vaishnavevyo namo namah. Okay, once again, this verse, Atmaramas chamunyo nirgrantha api urukrame kuruvanti ahitukim bhakti idham bhuta guna hari. So in the last session, we covered that how Mahaprabhu was explaining to Srila Sanatana Goswami about each and every word, you know, in this verse, the meaning of each and every word. that not only one meaning, but various meanings that comes up, because we've gone through that how Sanskrit language is such that, you know, one word in Sanskrit can have, you know, various meanings to it. So we did it, you know, word by word translation and word by word meaning of this whole verse. We have already completed it. And then Mahaprabhu said that now I will explain you, you know, the what does actually this whole verse means. In text 70, he said that I have now described the different meanings of the 11 separate words, and now let me give you the complete meaning of the shloka as it is applied in different places. So then, you know, Mahaprabhu is still, you know, the verses that we'll be covering is not the 100% meaning he will give, but again, he will give the overview of this verse, that what does it actually mean, right? And then, so basically, it's just the indications that he will give, the explanation of the Atma Rama verse. And then, probably in the future verses, he'll cover the 61 meanings that he gave of this verse. So Mahaprabhu starts by offering his obeisances to the Absolute Truth, that is to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to Saman Bonam, who is all pervasive and who is greater than all the truths. He who is the original personality, who is the original identity. There can be nothing that can be compared to that Absolute Truth. And of course, who is one without the second. To that Absolute Truth, Mahaprabhu offers his obeisances. And then he describes the proper meaning of the word Brahma. This word Brahma doesn't come in the verse as such, right? When we recited the verse, it doesn't come. But it comes as an Atmarama, right? How? The verse says, Atmaramas Chamunya. So this Atma, the one of the meaning that we saw, it was Brahma, right? The self, the soul. So here, Mahaprabhu will be describing the proper meaning of this word Brahma. So here the word Brahma doesn't refer to Lord Brahma, our Lord Brahma, who is the secondary creator, right? But it describes the absolute truth, the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's what the word Brahma that Mahaprabhu will be describing. And we know the famous words of our Srimad Bhagavatam, where it describes the three features of the Absolute Truth. And what is that? Vadanti tat tattva vidas tattvam yad jnanam advaitam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavan iti shabdaye. This is text number 74, where it describes that how this Absolute Truth can be understood in three forms. And we all know, first is the impersonal Brahman, the second is the localized Paramatma, and the third is the Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now we have to understand that yes, these are basically the three realizations, right? But it's not that the impersonal Brahman is something different to the Absolute Truth, or the localized Paramatma is different from what we have understood about Lord Shri Krishna, and of course the Bhagavan Personality, the two-handed form of dear Lord Shri Krishna. But the real understanding is that all these understandings are the characteristics of the same Absolute Truth, the same Lord Shri Krishna whom we worship, but the understanding is somehow incomplete. It's not the complete understanding. So someone may say, oh, you believe in impersonal Brahman, you are outcast, you know, you don't worship Lord Shri Krishna. We should not negate them as such, because their understanding is incomplete. But at the same point, they are also talking about the same Supreme Personality of Godhead, Shri Krishna. Like Prabhupada always gives an example that how the sun, when, you know, through our window in our room, if the sun rays come, normally we say the sun has come, the sun has arisen. Just seeing the, you know, that our room has been lit up doesn't mean that the sun has come inside our room. It just means that because of the sun rays, the shine of the sun rays, the room has lit up. So, but we are talking about the same sun, you know. technically we don't say that, you know, oh, the rays of the sun has come in our room, so the room has lit up. We don't say, just say the sun has come, right? So this is just the, you know, different ways of seeing. But again, we are talking about the same sun. So some may have the realization that, yes, the rays are there, the sun is there. But some other people can go beyond it. After all, from where this sun is coming, these rays are coming, there must be some source of it from which the rays are coming. It's not randomly that the rays have come and the room has been lit up, right? So someone may go to an extent of understanding that, yes, there must be some source. So that is another way of understanding. But they are understanding of the same sun, right? Now the third person may again go, okay, the source is there, but there should be, you know, there should be someone through this who is controlling all this, you know. And then they realize that, yes, there is a sun god, there was one, he is present there. He is a sun god who is controlling this whole sun planet. Because of that, some heat or some energy, this light is coming, rays are coming, and so the whole world is lit up, right? So ultimately, it's talking about the same sun, but the levels of understanding may be different. And that's what here Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is explaining to Sanatan Goswami, that how the same absolute truth can be understood in different features of impersonal Brahman, of localized Paramatma, and of course the Bhagavan feature, which is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So then Mahaprabhu also says that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's not that we just say that there is some Bhagavan who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but it's Krishna himself who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the knower of all the past and the present and the future. And then he quotes the verse, which is 76, the famous verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, where Krishna himself says, these are the words by Krishna himself, Aham Eva Sam Eva Agre, Nanya Yat Sat Sat Param, Paschad Aham Yat Etascha, So Vasishyata, So Asso, Asmi Aham, where he says that prior to the cosmic creation, only I exist. This Krishna himself is saying. And no phenomena exist, either gross, subtle, or primordial. And after creation, only I exist in everything. And after annihilation, only I will continue to remain eternally. So this is the very, you know, famous verse to, I've gone through various teenagers, you know, in the programs, you know, when I take class of those teenagers personally in our Bhakti Vriksha programs. The first question they ask that, since you say that each and every living entity has a father, right? So there has to be someone through whom someone comes. So definitely there should be someone through Krishna comes. So to that we can give them this words and explanation that, yes, Krishna himself says that I am the Samambonam. I am the only one who exists in everything. And I am the first primeval person, like, you know, and nothing has been existed before me, neither gross, neither subtle, neither primordial. So it's not that a rest of the thing we can say that, yes, everybody comes from somebody and, you know, everybody has a father, everybody has a mother. But for Krishna, it's altogether different. He is the Anadi, Ananta, Achyutam, Arupam, right? So that's the feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and Krishna himself says. So now, coming back to the three features of the Absolute Truth, Mahaprabhu explains that first is the process of philosophical speculation, that is the Jnana Yoga. Through this Jnana Marg, or through this Jnana Yoga, and all those who are following this Jnana Marg, they are Jnanis. To them, the Absolute Truth manifests himself as impersonal Brahman. So all the Jnanis who are following this Jnana Yoga, that is a process of philosophical speculation, to them, the same Absolute Truth manifests himself as impersonal Brahman. So first thing we have to understand, that this a manifestation of the absolute truth, because we cannot understand absolute truth through any academics. Through academics, it's very difficult to understand the absolute truth. Just by reading through books, just by doing something, you cannot understand. It's that the revelation has to come from the absolute truth. That's why it says that this is such a knowledge which has to be revealed. You cannot teach this knowledge. It has to be revealed. To an extent, yes, you can give some understanding as per the literatures written by our acharyas through the shastras. But, ultimately it has to be revealed. Divya Gyan Hriday Prakashito. This Divya Gyan, this transcendental knowledge will be revealed in the heart of the devotee. Right? So similarly, through jnanis, to jnanis, this absolute truth manifests himself as impersonal Brahman, because they have only the understanding up to that point. And then comes the process of mystic yoga or ashtanga yoga, or we also call it hatha yoga. To such yogis, the same absolute truth manifests himself as Paramatma. They can see the Paramatma as the super soul in their heart. That is up to their level. And finally, the process of executing devotional service, that is bhakti yoga. To such devotees or bhaktas, the absolute truth manifests himself as the personal form, that is the two-handed form, the Bhagavan form, as Lord Sri Krishna. They are bhaktas, they who follow the process of bhakti yoga. And then Mahaprabhu explains that, but still, in the process of devotion itself, okay, the two points covered. Okay, jnani yogis, they up till the process of impersonal Brahman, they get revealed. To ashtanga yogis, they understand up till the level of Paramatma, that yes, the super soul is present in each and every living entity's heart. But the process of devotional service, which is very extensive, and to this, Mahaprabhu will go on explaining in future verses about this bhakti yoga, that is devotional service. And then Mahaprabhu explains that in this process of devotion also, okay, fine, we know that devotees, two devotees, through the process of executing devotional service, one gets the realization of Bhagwan, the Supreme Lord. But still, in this process of devotional activity also, there are two margs that we have read extensively in the previous chapter, that is Vaidhi Bhakti and Raganuga Bhakti. Vaidhi Marg, which is the regulative devotional service, following the scriptures, Shruti, Smriti, Puranadi, right? And the next is the Raganuga Marg, which is the spontaneous devotional service. So Mahaprabhu explains that it is only and only by the spontaneous devotional service in Vrindavan Dham that one attains the original personality of Godhead Shri Krishna. Because he says by regulative principles one attains the expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is, one lands up into the abode of Vaikuntha. One becomes an associate of Narayan, and when finally one attains Vaikuntha Loka through Vaidhi Bhakti. So through only Raganuga Bhakti that one may get the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's only and only through the spontaneous devotional service to Krishna that one or by discussing the pastimes of Lord Krishna, remembering him through all these processes, one attains the highest abode, which is Golok Vrindavan. And what is the Pramana for this? We can go through to text number 88 of this chapter, which says, I'll not go to the Sanskrit, but it says, because this is the verse which is spoken by Lord Brahma while he was speaking to all the demigods. And then he says that those who discuss the activities of Lord Krishna are on the highest platform of devotional life, and they evince the symptoms of tears in the eyes and bodily jubilation. Such persons discharge devotional service to Krishna without practicing the rules and regulations of the mystic yoga system, and they possess all spiritual qualities, and they are elevated to the Vaikuntha planet, which exist above us. So he says that yes, by discussing the pastimes of Lord Sri Krishna, by remembering him, by chanting his holy names, one attains the highest abode. Right? So this is the explanation that Mahaprabhu gives to Sri Chaitanya, to Srila Sanatana Goswami. And then, to further that, okay, fine, then he explains about the devotion, right? Those who follow the Vaidhi Bhakti, those who follow the Raganuga Bhakti, and then what is their destination. Further, he explains that, yes, devotees do attain this Bhagavan realization, the personal form, the two-handed form of Lord Sri Krishna, but still he says that these devotees are also divided into various categories. So he is giving division, subdivision, subdivision, so and so forth, he is trying to explain. So now he says that even these devotees are being divided. And to this he says, there are three kinds of devotees. The first is akama, those who are desireless, who serve but they have no desires other than to serve, other than to do devotional service unto Lord Sri Krishna. The second is the moksha kama, those who desire liberation. And third is the sarva kama, those who desire material perfection. So devotees, when we see that devotees come and they do some service in the temple or some book distribution, so either they have some material motive behind doing it, right? Either they want some liberation, they want some piety, they want some material sense gratification. So no matter what, you know, and some are really doing it just to please Lord Sri Krishna, just to please Guru and Gauranga. That's their only motive. But there are different kinds of devotees that approach and do the devotional service. Even Srimad Bhagavatam says, which is text number 90, Akama sarva kama va moksha kama dharadi tirvena bhakti yogena yajate purusham param. One who is actually intelligent, although he may be a devotee, free from material desires, a karmi desiring all kinds of material activities, or a jnani desiring liberation, should seriously engage in bhakti yoga for the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So here Srimad Bhagavatam itself gives us that everybody, whether one person is a devotee, a karmi, a jnani, a yogi, everybody should approach Lord Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in this verse it says, right, akama sarva kama va moksha kama udaradihi. So in this verse, udaradihi is further explained by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as intelligent or considerate. And to this he says that one who is intelligent or considerate engages one's own self in the devotional service of Lord Sri Krishna. Even if that person approaches with some intention of his own sense gratification, but still at least they go and approach Lord Sri Krishna. But the point is here to understand that somehow or other, engage yourself in the devotional service only. That is the point. Even if we have some desires, even if we have no desire, or we have a desire for liberation, or we have a desire for doing all that, for material sense gratification, we should not approach anybody else except Lord Sri Krishna. That's what the Srimad Bhagavatam says. And Srimad Bhagavatam says, yes, those who approach, actually they are intelligent. Actually they are considerate. Because they know whom to go and what to ask. Right? They know this. That's why they are intelligent. So the point is that somehow or other we should try to engage ourselves in the devotional service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because sometimes, you know, even in our devotee community, we hear that, okay, I have this problem. You know, yes, you know, by chanting, your aim should be only to achieve the ultimate goal of life. And, you know, that is prema, that is love of Godhead. That's the ultimate goal. But still, you know, we all are in this material world and we do face some material miseries. So I'll not talk about others, but to my own self, sometimes I do get, you know, so much anxiety, so much, you know, tension is there in life. So what we do, we approach to the divine couple only, right? That please help me so that I can just get rid of this anxiety so that I can focus more on devotional service. So it's not that, you know, at least I'll talk of with my own self, that I'm not on that 100% platform that, oh, Krishna, okay, whatever. Fine, we can say that, okay, whatever you wish, you know, definitely that is going to be happen, and definitely that will be the best plan. But still, you know, when we get so much of anxiety, when we see some other Vaishnava suffering, we do approach Lord Sri Krishna, like, please help that Vaishnava, or please help so that, you know, these things can be relieved. So that is the point, you know. Sometimes we ourselves approach Lord Sri Krishna for all these so-called material things. Not material things, okay, dhanam dehi, janam dehi, kar dehi, and, you know, ghar dehi. You know, not that kind of gross material things, but just, you know, so that we can be a little bit anxiety-free and we can focus more on devotion. So that's the point here, you know. So that's what Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, yes, those who do it only and only, the service only and only to please Lord Sri Krishna, yes, they are topmost. But still, even if you approach Lord Sri Krishna for some material gains or for some liberation, still you are intelligent, you are considerate. Why? Because it's only through devotional service one can achieve the desired result. If there is a no devotional service, then all the process that is of self-realization, which is like karma, jnana, or being a yogi, they are just, Mahaprabhu says, they are just like the nipples which are present on the neck of a goat. So these nipples cannot produce milk, although it may appear that they can, right? But still, those nipples are of no use. You cannot get milk from those nipples which are present on the neck of the goat. It's simply waste of time. So similarly, all other processes, if they are not aligned to the devotional service, they are simply a waste of time. That's why one should always adopt the process of the devotional service. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, also there is a verse, I don't remember exactly the verse, but the translation says that for a person who is devoid of devotional service, birth in a great family or nation, knowledge of the revealed scriptures, performance of severe austerities and penance, or chanting of the Vedic mantras, they are just like the ornaments on a dead body. So if we have a great birth in a great family, if we are very knowledgeable, if we have the power of performing any kind of austerity and penance, and if we can chant Vedic mantras, but if all these things are not for the pleasure of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, if these all these things are devoid of some kind of devotional service, then all these qualities, the so-called qualities, they are just the ornaments which are simply, you know, decorating the dead body. Such ornaments simply serve the concocted pleasure of the general populace. That's what it says. So devotional service unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead is very important. And then Mahaprabhu quotes one of the four famous verse from Srimad Bhagavad Gita. Now we'll go to text number 94, where Mahaprabhu says, the famous verse of Bhagavad Gita, Chaturvidha bhajante mam jnana sukritino arjuna artha jignasur artharthi jnani cha bharata samaha. O best among the Bharatas, Arjunas, the four kinds of pious men render devotional service unto me, the distressed, the desirer of wealth, the inquisitive, and who is searching of knowledge of the absolute truth. So Mahaprabhu says that even those who do devotional service can be categorized into why they do devotional service. What is the intention behind doing that devotional service unto me? So four kinds of people, they approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And who are the four? The distressed, the desirer of wealth, the inquisitive, and for those who are searching the knowledge of the Absolute. So unto this, you know, Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport. Actually, the word sukritino is very important in this verse. So Prabhupada explains that su means auspicious and kriti means regulated or meritorious. So one has to follow the regulative principles of religious life. Otherwise, this human life is no different than the animal life. It's just, we are just, if we are not following the regulative principles of spirituality, then, you know, Prabhupada says we are just, our human form of life is on the animal platform. We are all just dvipad pashu. We are animal walking on two legs. And what are those religious principles? And then Prabhupada extensively explains that how the society is divided into varnas and ashramas. So we have to follow all those varnas and ashramas. We have to follow the social divisions, which are Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra, and of course the four ashramas, that is Brahmacharya, Grihastha, Vanaprastha and Sannyas. So one should be trained actually that yes, up till the age of 25, all the, you know, kids or teenagers should be explained that you have to follow the life of a Brahmachari. And then you can enter into the life of Grihastha. But even when you have entered the Grihastha life, there is a certain age after which you should even renounce those Grihastha life and enter into Vanaprastha. So all these trainings have to be given. If one is not trained, then one is not even a human. That's what Srila Prabhupada is explaining. And if we are not trained, then one cannot get sukriti. One cannot get auspiciousness. So if there is no sukriti, then of course, you know, this verse fails. So it's because this verse says that chaturvidha bhajante mam jnana sukritino arjuna. Only those pious people can come to me. And they are distressed, desirous of wealth, inquisitive, and those who are searching for knowledge of the Absolute. And our scriptures explain, give the epitome of all these four things. For distress, they give example of Gajendra, how Gajendra was distressed, and finally they approached Lord Sri Krishna. Then desirer of wealth, example is given of Dhruva Maharaj. Then inquisitive for Kumaras, and those who are searching for knowledge of the Absolute, example is Sukadev Goswami. So actually the first two, that is desired and distress and the desirer of wealth, they are the materialistic devotees because they are approaching for some material thing. And the next two, that is the inquisitive and those who are searching for the knowledge of the Absolute Truth, they are transcendentalists because they desire liberation from all material contamination. They just want to get rid of these material miseries and finally attain liberation. But the point is that Krishna says that since all of them have pious backgrounds, so all the four types of people are considered greatly fortunate and they are very dear to Lord Sri Krishna. In Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada explains that they are magnanimous. That's the word he used. Right? Even those people are very fortunate because they have some pious background. And such people will gradually, when they approach Lord Sri Krishna, they will gradually give up the material desires and then they'll come on the path of becoming a pure devotee. And to this, we don't need any praman. We, all of us can see our own life, how we were. Were we really born devotees? Yes, some of us may. But most of us, you know, we came into Krishna consciousness. What is this coming into Krishna consciousness? Because being Krishna consciousness is the intrinsic quality, is the intrinsic characteristic of a soul. Right? But because these material contaminations, this material conditioning were there on us, those layers were there. So finally when those layers get removed, we become Krishna conscious. But what is this coming into Krishna consciousness? Is this verse what it says that yes, because we have some piety, we have some sukriti, we have some ajat sukriti from our previous birth that we get into this process of coming into Krishna consciousness. So gradually we all gave up into this material desire. We were all enjoying materially. But when we came into Krishna consciousness, we gave up all this material desire and now we are on the process or aspire to become pure devotees. But how did it happen? You know, the most important question is that how it happens? Because it says that people will gradually try to become a pure devotee. So it's not just a magical stick that one day, you know, you are totally materialistic and another day you become a pure Krishna conscious devotee. The answer is yes and no, because Mahaprabhu explains. Why yes or no? Yes, no, because, you know, if one day if one is totally 100% material, the next day you cannot expect that the person can become 100% Krishna conscious or 100% pure devotee. No in that sense. But yes in that sense, that because that person has come into the contact of a pure devotee, that one starts this process of devotional service. So yes, it is a kind of a magical stick, because it will give you the path, the right path to follow. And to that, there is a text 97 that Mahaprabhu explains. Sadhu sangha kripa kimva krishnira kripaya kamadi dushanga chadi shuddha bhakti paya. But it says that one is elevated onto the platform of devotional service only by the mercy of a Vaishnava, the bona fide spiritual master, and by the mercy of Lord Shri Krishna. On that platform, one gives up all material desires and the association of all unwanted people, and thus one is elevated onto the platform of pure devotional service. So the path of that pure devotional service begins. And only that begins when one comes in the contact of a pure devotee or a bona fide spiritual master. And that can also happen only by the mercy of Lord Shri Krishna. You can see that circle, right, going on and on. That only by the mercy of Lord Shri Krishna, you get into contact with the supreme, with the some bona fide spiritual master. But how that mercy comes also depends upon our sukriti. But how much sukriti we have done to get those, that mercy to which we can come in contact with the devotional, the pure devotee of our Lord, and finally begin our intrinsic nature of being Krishna consciousness. Right? And then Mahaprabhu explains that, you know, to each and every thing that he's explaining, he gave a praman from Srimad Bhagavatam. So where he says that one comes into contact of a bona fide spiritual master, or one comes into contact of a pure devotee only by the mercy of Lord Krishna, he gives the praman. He gives the praman from Srimad Bhagavatam, where he says the intelligent who have understood the Supreme Lord in the association of pure devotees have become free from the bad materialistic association and never avoid hearing the glories of the Lord, even though they have heard them only once. It's a very beautiful verse. And it says that, yes, the glories of the Lord are such that even if one has heard once, one, you know, try to give up all that bad qualities, the bad association, and finally comes into the association of the pure devotee. So here, to summarize, it says that what happens when one comes into the contact of good association and mercy of Krishna and his devotees, three things happen. The first is one gives up the material desires. Second, gives up the unwanted association, and finally elevate oneself to a pure devotional service. One try to become a Shuddha Bhakti. So that is what Mahaprabhu explains. But if this thing doesn't happen, then one comes into the association of bad association, Dushanga. And what is that Dushanga? That Mahaprabhu explains in the verse 99. He says that Dushanga kaya khaitava atma vanchana Krishna Krishna bhakti vino anya kamana. The cheating oneself and cheating others is called khaitava. And associating with those who cheat in this world is known as Dushanga. One is Satsanga and next is Dushanga. That is a bad association. And those who desire things which is other than Krishna's service are called Dushanga. That is bad association. So what is the bad association? One is the cheating oneself. When one cheats oneself, that is Atma Vanchana. And then cheating others, that is Kaitava. And third is the desiring things which is other than Krishna's service. And to this, he gives a praman. The very famous verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, the second verse, the first chapter, second verse. Dharma Prajita Kaitava Atra Paramo Nimastaranam Satam. That is the explanation he gives, where he says that the things which are not into the dharma, which doesn't fall into the category of dharma, which are, they are prohibita, they are completely rejected because they are khaitava. They are, this is like cheating others. And the worst is that Mahaprabhu explains is that those who try to merge into that Supreme Personality of Godhead, which have those who have a desire of merging, desiring liberation or oneness to the Supreme Personality, is the foremost of the cheating propensity. That's what Mahaprabhu explains. And then he says that this is the teachings of the great commentator, which is Sridhar Swami, who has explained this verse in this way. The word para and the word prohijita specifically refers to those who are desiring liberation or oneness with the Supreme. Because this desire should be understood to be the foremost of the cheating propensity. And then from 102 verse, it explains that what happened to the Sakam Bhakta, those who approach Lord Sri Krishna. Sakama Bhakta Agyana Jani Dayalu Bhagavan Swacharana Diye Kari Ichchara Pidhan. When merciful Lord Sri Krishna understands that a foolish devotee desires material propensity, he gradually gives him the shelter of his lotus feet. And in this way, the Lord covers the devotee's undesirable ambitions. So even if we have those desires of material gratification, sense gratification, but we approach Lord Sri Krishna, then Lord Krishna very mercifully, first thing is that he gives the shelter of his lotus feet, and secondly, he covers our all undesirable ambitions. And then what is the praman for this is also given in 103 verse, which is again from Srimad Bhagavatam, where it says that whenever Krishna is required, I'm just reading the translation, whenever Krishna is requested to fulfill one's desire, he undoubtedly does so, but he does not award anything which after being enjoyed will cause one to petition him again and again to fulfill further desires. So he will fulfill our desires, but he'll make sure that he doesn't give us fulfill our that desire which gives birth to further more desires so that we can get bound to this material world. You know, that thing Krishna makes sure. But when one has other desires but engages in the Lord's service, then what Krishna does? Krishna forcibly gives one shelter of his lotus feet, where one will forget all other desires. And to this, you know, we are reading Brihad Bhagavatamrita, where we are seeing the story of Gop Kumara, how he has been given everything, right? He has been given the kingdom, and then finally he became the king of Jagannath Puri, and, you know, lately we heard that how he became the king of heaven, you know. But at every point, though he was given this all these material so-called opulences, but every point Krishna was making sure that Gop Kumara was very much dissatisfied. And because of his dissatisfaction, he wants to approach and go for the higher. And then, you know, we'll see the journey of Gop Kumara. But that's what the real example is. That yes, Krishna do fulfill our desire, because see, Gop Kumara was having the desire, oh, I wish I would have served Lord Jagannath the way the king of Jagannath Puri is serving. Oh, I wish I could have. And so finally he himself became the king of Jagannath Puri. But once he became the king of Jagannath Puri, he again the desire popped up that no, I'm getting all that kind of fame, and you know, I'm always being in the association of all these crowded people, and they want, because the same came up, right? But he wants to enjoy that intimate relationship with the Supreme Lord, and so he didn't get time to do that. So finally he wants to renounce that, and then finally he saw that how Indra is worshipping Upendra, so he wants to become now the king of heaven. So all these so-called desires were getting fulfilled in the story of Gop Kumara. But how Krishna is making this arrangement that you know, though the desire is being fulfilled, but still, you know, he engages himself in the Lord's service, because Krishna then forcibly, it's such a strong statement, that Krishna forcibly gives one shelter of his lotus feet, where one will forget all other desires except to serve Lord Shri Krishna. And then the last verse, that is 104, not the last verse, but yes, then 104 summarizes all these 3-4 points about the bad association, good association, and then what Krishna does to his own Sakam Bhakta, where it says that Sadhu Sangha Krishna Kripa Bhakti Raswabhava. That is the swabhav, that is the nature of bhakti. Etine Sabhacharya Kare Krishna Bhav. That association with the devotee, the mercy of Krishna, and the nature of devotional service is such that it helps one to give up all the undesirable association, and then one gradually attains the elevation onto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which is the love of Godhead. So then Mahaprabhu in the verse 5 says, 105 says that in this way I shall progressively explain all the words in the Atmarama verse, and it should be understood that all these words are meant to enable one to taste the transcendental qualities of Krishna. And the last verse, 106, it says that I have given all these explanations just to give you some indication of the meaning of the verse altogether. Now let me explain the real meaning of the verse. So now from 107 onwards, he will try to explain the real meaning. But up till now, he just gave the indication what the verse overall means. So we'll stop here and let's see if you have any questions, any comments, any corrections. You can take up now. Thank you all so much for patiently listening. Shila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Hare Krishna Kirti Dasundari Mataji. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. It was so easy to follow the verses as you were speaking. And thank you for the beautiful insights that you embedded within your explanation while you were explaining each of these verses very nicely. Thank you so much, Mataji. I think, we get an indication of what the verse actually means from these verses 71 to 106. Makes sense, Mataji. So the explanation, the real explanation and the different 71, right? 71 explanations, they have not yet started. Is that correct?
61. No, 61 explanation. Yeah, they have yet not started.
They have not yet started. Okay.
Yeah.
Mataji, thank you. So, yeah, so far the build-up is pretty clear. Thank you very much. I just had one question when it comes about Chaturvidam Bhajante Maam. The Jignyasu is the example of Jignyasu, the sages of Naimisharanya.
Four Kumaras.
Yes.
The sages of Naimisharanya, Four Kumaras. Yes.
So how did they distinguish between the four Kumaras and Shukadeva Goswami? Because it appears that the four Kumaras and Shukadeva were Jnanis, right?
Oh, yeah, sorry. Inquisitive, actually, it's not the four Kumaras. It's the sages of Naimisharanya. You are right.
Okay, Mataji, just had that question. Thank you.
Yeah. And those who are searching for the absolute truth, there you can say Shukadeva Goswami or the four Kumaras.
Okay. Thank you, Mataji. Thank you very much for the very lovely.
Because story. They both were Brahmavadis, right? Yeah, both were Brahmavadis. And it will come in the future verses about these Brahmavadis also.
Okay. So first Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is going to talk about the Atmaram verse in Jnana Marga. Is that correct? And then only he will talk about the Bhakti Marga or...
That's how it's going to progress.
Okay. Thank you, Mataji. Thank you very much.
Just now he just gave a glimpse of what is happening in this.
Mm.
He just gave a glimpse and now he'll extensively dive into each and every mark.
Okay. Nice. So we'll have to have this class as early as possible before we forget everything.
Thank you so much. Because of you only, you know, since you said so, I am now extensively reading this chapter. Otherwise, I was thinking this chapter is very hard to understand.
Yeah, very.
But because of you only, and diving deep into it.
No, thank you very much, Mataji. Thanks for all the effort. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Agarshwar Prabhupada Guru Maharaj, Praneshwar Lakshmi Devadasi.
Hari Bol, welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you so much for the review, because since I've been gone, I'm kind of lost. So I'm a little bit confused. So the last time I was in class, we were talking about each of the different meanings of the words. So this is after that?
Yeah.
Okay.
This is after that.
So first he went through each of the words and gave different meanings of those verses, and those were the verses that we were going through. And then he gave this understanding, this review that you're giving right now. I guess that was the whole part that I missed. Mm. And now after this, he's going to give a more in-depth explanation of what that verse really means, in spite of all the 100 different type of meanings each one of the words has, right?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm good. I'm back at the right place. And thank you, Mataji. It was a wonderful explanation. Thank you so much. Because you're like, missing class, and you're like, oh, my God, we're going to have an exam, and I completely forgot everything. But thank you. Knowing the mentality of us in Kali Yuga, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu so graciously has been giving us review upon review so we can catch up. Thank you.
Thank you, Mataji. Yes, very true.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Thank you so much, Mataji. You always give review and the previous verses. I already read, but nice, Mataji. Nicely, simple way you explain everything. Thank you
so much, Anjana Gopika, Mataji. The glory to Srila Prabhupada who makes it so simple.
Hare Krishna, is there any question or comment from Mataji? In the call, otherwise, I pay my respects to all the devotees and Sri Mataji, Panchakalpa Trivesa, Kripa Sindhu Evasa, Kita Nama Pavanipya, Vaishnava Vekno Namo Nama, Ananta Vaishnava Vekno Kee.
Thank you so much. Yes, Mataji. No one else has any questions? I just want to stop recording and then